I often wonder, growing up, seeing my dad watch the Huntley-Brinkley Report, you know, I remember seeing Vietnam War footage. I remember seeing college protests. I remember seeing, my mother being from the Deep South, we'd go down to visit, and that was an interesting experience in the 60s. And then, you know, throughout that time, I mean, every generation has its thing. I don't know if this is becoming that, but college protests have spilled, I think that's an accurate term, to spilled across the country, starting Columbia University, anti-Semitism on campus, and, you know, you got to wonder, is there any real actual bare bones learning going on in classrooms? Let's find out from Garion Frankel, is a commentator, a political analyst with Young Voices, joins us now. Hey, Garion, how are you?
Good. How about yourself?
I think I'm going to be okay. You seem like a fairly positive person, but boy, oh boy, I don't know how you see this stuff. And in the United States of America, we see. And we're allowed to protest. We're allowed to have a voice. But as soon as you start closing down a road I have to be on or a class I need to get to, then now it's no longer your voice. You're kind of messing with me. What is going to happen here? Is this reminiscent sort of every generation of college class, college generation has their thing? Is this generation's thing?
To a certain extent, it might be. College students as a general demographic are bored, passionate, and have lots of time and energy to spare. So they make natural activists for whatever cause is the fancy of the hour. I actually find it really interesting that you brought up the Vietnam protests, because you're right, and that this latest saga does bear a lot of similarities to the student protests during the Vietnam War. But what people forget about the student protests during the Vietnam War era is that they got the rest of the country so irritated that they voted for Richard Nixon. And I'm wondering if the same sort of thing is going to happen now, because, I mean, obviously they're getting somewhere. Columbia is about to cave. Harvard is already starting to cave. Yale might cave, but eventually, I mean, if they keep closing down roads, if they keep blocking ambulances, if they keep creating tent cities in public spaces or private property, these student protesters are going to alienate the rest of the country. And when they run out of money, because it's going to happen, eventually they're going to run out of money, they're going to have no friends left to help them.
When they run out of money, you mean the protesters?
Oh, yeah, they're nonprofits. Yeah. And in one case, even a grant from the city of New York that are putting millions and millions and millions of dollars into these protests. I mean, obviously, the core of these sorts of events are college students, but they're hiring a whole bunch of outside agitators to come in and make these events seem like they're big and magnificent and a spectacle.
And they've been called peaceful, but I was just reading last night, they're not necessarily peaceful. Now, at U of M, so far, from what we found out from the editor of their daily newspaper, so far, things have been fairly peaceful. They've been loud, but they've been fairly peaceful. But there have been some clashes, and I think that's inevitable. It's going to spill over.
Oh, absolutely. And even if you go back to the immediate aftermath of the October 7th terrorist attacks in Israel, some of the protests that immediately popped up in the U.S. were incredibly violent. There is this one clip from that went viral on Twitter or X or whatever it is now, from this small university in New York City, where Jewish students were forced to barricade themselves in the university library because the protesters had just completely surrounding them. They were banging on the windows. It was clear intimidation on their part. And when Jewish students are pretty much not allowed to leave a given space just because they're Jewish, that's not a legal protest anymore. That's something worse. It's vile. It's obviously anti-Semitic. And I'm worried that is going to start happening again with this latest wave, and it's already arguably happening again at Columbia.
Yeah. Gary and Frankel with us, Young Voices, commentator, political analyst. We're talking about not just Columbia University, but universities across America. And I think what happens is that generational thing. Okay. This country, I think that generation that age group has been hungry, so to speak, ever since the Vietnam era for a cause. Right. Well, that was their cause. Now we want to define ours. That's what the boomers had. Now we want our section. We want our time. And maybe this is that. Unfortunately, it disrupts life. It disrupts things. Now, I'm not saying you can't have an opinion on stuff. That's what America's based on. You know, I mean, we relish that. We forget, though, Gary, and do we not have a collective short memory? We forget October 7th. Put yourself in Israel's place, tiny little country surrounded. You look on a map, it's astonishing. Surrounded by enemies. Peaceful time, and then attack. State-sponsored attack. And you don't hear that brought up anymore.
Well, no, because it's an inconvenient truth. The decolonial critical theory sort of rhetoric that a lot of these protesters espouse holds that any form of resistance against whoever or whatever they see as wrong or oppressive is justified, even if that means wandering into a sovereign state recognized by the vast majority of the world and indiscriminately and brutally massacring civilians. Perhaps to these people, it's slightly distasteful, and to others, it's not distasteful at all, but it's emblematic of what they see as the capital S struggle. The brutality doesn't matter. The fact that it was innocent civilians, especially at a music festival, doesn't matter. It's all about the struggle. It's all about the decolonial resistance. And for the rest of the world, and for the normal people among us, that's a horrific thing to say. But it's the type of rhetoric that gets thrown around all these student activists. And therefore, terrorist attack that was magnitudes times worse in terms of proportion of people killed than 9/11 is shoved under the rug.
Graham, we got to get going. Young Voices here on WILS.